So here we are, Proverbs chapter 22, and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. And I want to really focus on that training up concept. We are already taught in the scripture that we should instruct, teach our children. There is a difference between teaching and training. You already know what it is, so don't make it hard. What is the difference between teaching and training? Okay, teaching, that's a really simple way to say it. Teaching is telling, training is showing. I told you that when we get to the end of this, there's responsibility. In children ministry, whether it's ministry to children or ministry of children, there has to be a training taking place. What you saw tonight, you know, when Cooper got over there and played the piano, which was wonderful. I appreciate that, Cooper. That was exciting. We love to have our kids getting involved in ministry. And so we try to get that going early on. But, you know, it happened because he spent hours with someone who was doing some training. And mom and dad spent hours and buku bucks, I'm sure it feels like, getting that done, you know, so that you can get to that point. And you're just, you spend that time in training. There is no way that your kids or my kids are going to involve themselves in ministry without effort on our part. It's not going to happen. It's a training concept, and it's not teaching. It's not telling your kids to do. It is showing your kids how to do. In fact, there's another word that's very popular today. Let's see if you can figure out what my thinking is, that describes this concept of bringing somebody alongside you and showing them walking. What? Say it again. Mentoring. That's exactly it. It's mentoring. And so as we are, bringing children into ministry and getting our children involved in ministering, and they should be involved in ministering. If we wait until they're adults, we're going to really struggle to get them to that point. Do you remember when you started out? Those of you who are, older in the Lord, do you remember when, your Sunday school teacher started out by having you stand up in front of the class and read a Bible verse? Just simple. You read the first Bible verse, then we'll have our lesson. And we'll just, it's all part of that process, but that started very young. I mean, by the time you're 10, 11, 12, we are hopefully past that, and there's an activity involved. I mean, remember Josiah. How old was Josiah when he became the king of Israel? So 8-year-olds are capable of thought processes and actually, and I'm well aware that he had mentors. That's what he had that came alongside him and helped him in doing this. But he led the nation of Israel into a great time of revival, a time when they drew very close to the Lord because of his leadership. And so what I want us to do is to talk about what it means in a very practical sense for you and I in a biblical way to mentor our children in spiritual things. Now, both of my kids are here tonight. I wish, this is one of those messages, I wish my kids weren't here, because I'm going to tell you things the way they should be done. Do you understand? And they're going to be sitting there thinking, you didn't do that for us. And I know, I'm sorry, I apologize right now. There are things that I should have done. I'm going to tell you what we should be doing. And not just to my kids, just please follow the Bible example and not your dad's in these things. To mentor someone is to come alongside. And there's like a 3-step process to mentoring. You show them how it's done. You demonstrate. Show them how it's done, right? Then you give them an opportunity to do it. And then you evaluate what they've done so that they can learn to do it to completion. And then you just keep repeating the process over and over again. Show them how it's done. Give them the opportunity to do it. And they're not going to do it perfectly. They're not. It's not going to be that way. But we show them how it's done. We give them an opportunity to do that. And then we evaluate. Let's figure out what we did that didn't work. And let's polish it up. And let's try this again. And we keep repeating the process until ministering becomes that thing that they're capable of. What I want us to do is to really, first of all, I'm going to put us on the spot. We'll we'll deal with some things, and then we'll kind of get into the nitty-gritty, the simple things of how we can make this practical in our church setting. We cannot say to our children, rightly, you should read your Bible every day. Unless there's a time in which we're sitting down with them and we're showing them how it's done. So, and what we're not doing to read our Bible rightly is to get something out of it. So what we're not doing is simply chalking off, I read this, I read this, I read this. It's not just checking off a list saying, I've accomplished these things. It is actually reading something to, for the purpose of getting some understanding. One of the very simple, practical ways to have devotions that's been around for years is, you know, you when you read your Bible, you ask yourself some questions. So you read a portion of Scripture. And when we're dealing with our children, you know, you make it a small enough portion of Scripture that they can grasp it. If you've got a six-year-old, they're not going to grasp a chapter. It's unlikely that they're going to grasp a chapter, unless that chapter is telling all one story, right? They might grasp a chapter that tells us about the walls of Jericho coming down, because if we stop that in the middle, it wouldn't make any sense. So they might grasp that concept. But if you get into the book of Proverbs and try to do a chapter of Proverbs, you're going to really struggle, because Proverbs contain, each verse is almost a standalone statement. And so each verse needs to be processed. So you know, you simply ask yourself some questions. Is there a command in this passage that I should obey? Now, your 8-year-old knows what a command is. They know what an order is, a rule is. Is there something in this passage that you should be doing, son? Is there a sin spoken of that you need to confess? I mean, it's those basic questions. This is how you go about, is there a job that I am asked of God to do? And so you ask yourself the question about this. You're going to show, you're going to mentor your children into their devotional life, showing them how to have a strong and powerful devotional life. It's not enough that they see you pick up your Bible. That doesn't teach them. That doesn't mentor them. So mentor them. You know, the disciples, after spending much time with Jesus, came to Jesus and said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? Think that one through for a moment. So our 9-year-old isn't going to grasp that concept without some instruction, and more than instruction, a demonstration. When Jesus, you know, did this, he said, here's how you ought to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And he demonstrated to them a prayer, how it ought to be done. And so we walk our kids through these processes. We actually show them. I would challenge us with this, and here's where, you know, we all fail, and I know this is a struggle. But we want our kids, I've never met a parent yet that does not want their kids to use their God-given talents. You know where this is going, right? But for our kids to learn to do that, we need to mentor them through that process. We need to, in other words, use our God-given talents and show them how that we can take the talents that God has given us and put them to work for the glory of God. And when we demonstrate to them how to take our God-given talents and put them to work for the Lord, then it's easier for them to understand how to find their God-given talents and put them to work for the glory of God. Mentoring requires involvement. Mentoring requires commitment. Mentoring requires time and effort. It doesn't just happen. And I'm afraid that one of the problems we're struggling with in our churches today is that our concept is to teach our kids, and we never get around to training our kids. And we're doing a good job teaching them. They might know the answers, but they're not seeing demonstrated in our lives. We want our kids to obey those who have authority over them, right? So, I want to give you a real challenge. You know, one of the things that I did, this is a weird thing, okay? This is kind of, I'm getting to that weird stage in my life when my son's now here and he's heading up Vacation Bible School, and I have placed myself as the bus captain under him. Don't let it go to your head. Under him. Do you understand? Because I want to demonstrate to my kids and to your kids what it means to submit to authority. What it means to place yourself under authority and to be willing to submit. Let me give you an example. Pastor said, I need to wear a tie if I'm going to take up the offering, so I'm not going to take up an offering. You're having this conversation with your wife over dinner. And what did you just teach your 8-year-old? You taught your 8-year-old that I do not have to submit to any. That's just a dumb rule. I don't have to submit to it. You don't have to like it. You don't. I mean, it's not biblical. This isn't a biblical issue. You know, it's not like you're not right with God if you're not wearing a tie. This isn't biblical. It's just what I ask. But greater would be the guy who never wears a tie, but for the purpose of mentoring his child, says, son, let me show you how it works. I'm going to submit so that you can see, because one day I want my son to know how to submit to authority in the right way. Training up a child is not telling our children what to do. Training up a child is mentoring our children. It is involving ourselves in such a way that they see in action what it means to do these things. So we're going to get very, very practical now, right? So because there's a lot of opportunities for our children to minister. That ministry is unlikely going to be that they're going to teach, right? It's unlikely that we're going to put a 9-year-old in charge of teaching something. I'm aware of that. But that's our problem for thinking that ministry is only teaching. We've got to understand what ministry is and demonstrate to them what ministry is. So you had opportunity, believe it or not, tonight to demonstrate ministry already. Walking in, I'm just guaranteeing you, you passed a piece of paper on the floor, you know, out in the parking lot. You passed a chair out of place. You passed, somebody who was trying to carry something and get in the front door. It amazes me. It amazes me how often we pass by ministry opportunities. Now, so you're walking, and you say, well, you know, I'm so glad that my kids are raised. All right, this is the problem. Now, we're talking about how we can minister to age groups. Everyone sitting here understands what I'm talking about. I don't care how old your kids are. There are kids in our church watching. Okay, so here's how it works. You know, you see one of those kids, and you say, hey, would you help me carry this chair? Now, you don't need help. You're completely capable of carrying the chair. But that 8-year-old kid who's just kind of hanging around doing nothing, waiting for church service to start, needs to be shown what it means to have a servant's heart. Not to be told to have a servant's heart, to be shown how to have a servant's heart. And so, you know, you carry your side of the chair, and they carry their side of the chair, and you take the time and the effort. And you invest that moment of mentoring into that child to teach them something, to train them up in the way that they should go. Because I don't know about you, but I want one day the church to be full of 25-year-olds who know how to help when the church has its big events, how to help put up chairs and pick up tables. And don't you want that? When we get too old and it is a struggle for us, don't we want to know that there's another generation come along that we've spent the time actually mentoring them showing them by demonstration what it means to be a servant. Dads, it starts with us. It really does. Now, it's all of our church. We all need to be doing it. None of us are off the hook, but it does start at home. Dads and moms, we need to be demonstrating a servant's heart. I'm amazed. I just always am amazed at how often people pass by ministry opportunities. Ministry opportunities. Just simply, you know, I mean, here's the thing. Who are you ministering to if you pick up the paper off the floor and put it in the trash can? Who are you ministering to? Brother Ken? Okay. Think that through for a moment. That, primarily, it's to the Lord, right? That's exactly right. But here's how it works. If you give a cup of cold water to a disciple in my name, you've given it unto me, Jesus said, right? So, from a practical perspective, I know it's to the Lord, but who are you ministering to when you throw the paper away that's on the floor? Anybody that sees you do it, that's important. You are showing by example. You've now ministered to everyone who saw you bend down, pick it up, and throw it away. Oh, look, that's a demonstration of a servant's heart. Who else are you ministering to? Miss Faith. Okay, you're ministering to my wife. You want to be a blessing to my wife? Pick it up. You know, I mean, somebody's going to pick it up. If you want to be a blessing to her, pick it up. You know, it's amazing. We can walk by and say, not my job. And it's not. I know that. I'm aware of that. It's not your job. It isn't. From a purely worldly perspective, it's not your job. But where does the Bible let us off the hook from that ministering spirit? Whoever's going to be greatest in the kingdom is the least. And if we want to be great, we need to be the servant of who? Everybody, right? So we're going to demonstrate to our kids what it means to have a servant's heart. And we're looking for those ministry opportunities. I'm flabbergasted to watch people struggle to open a door. I'm talking about here at Southeast Baptist, where I think we're pretty good about having a servant's heart. But, you know, we watch to see if they're going to get it. And I guess after the third try, we're going to go help them. I don't know. I don't know what we're waiting for, you know. This morning was a great example of those opportunities. I watched this morning. It was wonderful. There's some of you who have just really caught on to this. But, you know, it was raining and nasty out there this morning when you left church. And two things have happened to be a servant already in our church. Somebody donated a bucket full of umbrellas. So you can grab an umbrella, go get your car, drive it up under the awning, put the umbrella back, and leave dry. That's just a wonderful service. But we had people out there this morning holding the umbrellas, going to get cars. I love that. And so every little, you know what you need to do, dads? You need to stop for a minute with your kid in tow and say, hey, son, I want you to watch something. And let them see what it means. We get in such a hurry. We're anxious to get home and eat and to do whatever, take our shoes off and watch things. I don't know. And that we're so busy that we're not mentoring our children. And we're telling them, oh, they know. They've got knowledge. But that's not the same as training up a child in the way he should go. And when we train up a child, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Knowledge doesn't accomplish that by itself, but that demonstration of it. So, you know, in order for us to be a mentor, we need to learn to serve. We need to learn to help. We need to demonstrate, evaluate, and practice. Let's go through a list here of things now that I think that we could do with our kids. My kids are a little bit older now, so this wouldn't work quite the same. But you know what little kids will do for you? Pastor Andrew knows what little kids will do for you. Pastor Andrew's been doing a great job of this. He takes Clayton with him on visitation. Why, Pastor Andrew? Nobody slams the door in the face of a little kid. It is true. You know, you got that little kid there, and there's not anybody out there mean enough to say, get off my porch, Pat. I mean, it just doesn't happen. It's like, oh, I mean, their hearts melt, and everything changes. But having said that, beyond that, the greater value of it is that Clayton is watching Dad knock on a door, talk to people about the Lord, And right now he's three. It doesn't mean a lot. But as that keeps continuing to happen, it's there. And there's the mentoring, the let's show you, let's demonstrate how this is done. If you want to be a real blessing, go visit a nursing home. And if you want to be a blessing greater than that, take a couple little kids with you. Because there is nobody that blesses older people like little babies, little kids. Not babies, but you can take babies, but you know, little kids. I mean, they'll say all the wrong things. What's wrong with you? How come you walk funny? And those people won't care at all. They just won't. There's just something wonderful about that. And you're going to demonstrate to them. You say, well, I don't have any little kids at home. Borrow a couple. I'm not making this up. I'm really not. Don't be creepy about it. But, you know, borrow a couple. I am telling you that what we need to do, if we want to minister to our kids, we need to mentor them. And I'm talking about everybody. If we say, we think that ministering to kids is important, then we need to mentor them. We say, well, I'm not a children's church teacher. Okay, don't be. Take a little kid by the hand for 3 minutes and help them pick up paper on the floor at the end of a Sunday morning service. I promise you there's paper on the floor. In fact, you remember a couple of years ago, I brought up a jar of paper. You remember when I had that jar of, I could do it again, folks. Take a look in the pew. Don't do it right now. But the pew in front of you, that book rack has become a trash can for some of you. And this is what's so comical, is that people are creatures of habit. So I know who you are. You sit in the same place all the time. I know who's putting the trash there. I could literally fill a small trash bag right now out of the pews. I haven't done it yet because it takes some work, so I'm saving it for Saturday, work day. Because you got to take a knife and you got to dig it out of that slot that's right there, right? People stuff it down. I don't know why. Nothing better to do, I guess, than the pastor's certain preaching. Like, and they poke it down in there. Somebody's got to dig it out. You know, so guess what we're going to do Saturday? Yeah, bring your butter knife. We're going to get busy. And, you know, we could just simply take one of those kids. I want to show them. I want to minister to these kids. I'm going to mentor. And in the process, those kids are now ministering. They are visiting older people who would love to see them. And they are picking up papers on the ground. And I've got a whole list of things here. You want to really get exciting? It's fun to be a greeter. Get an 8-year-old kid to stand beside you as a greeter one day. And you tell that kid, don't apologize for it. Say, hey, I want you to wear your tie next week. I want you to look really sharp. And that kid will be so proud. His mom will slick his hair all back. He'll stand there. And you're going to teach him how to shake hands. And that's important. There's one family, they're sitting here right now. I'm not trying to embarrass them. But every time I go to shake their kids' hands, the dad says, stand up to his sons. Wow. He's trying to teach them something. It's called mentoring. You know, and guess what dad's doing? Standing up. Shaking my hand. Sometimes I just go over there and just watch him stand up. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. He knows. And so, you know, it's just, it is what it is. It's we're teaching, and in the process, while we're ministering to our children are now ministering to other people. And they're finding out that ministering is a joy. You know, I'm going to brag on my kids for a minute. My kids are both serving the Lord faithfully. But you know one of the reasons why? Because Southeast Baptist has shown them that ministry is a joy. You really have. You've been a great example to my kids. Some pastors' kids hate the ministry. Hate it. Because all they've ever known is for people to be mean and bickering. And my kids have known nothing. This is the only church they've ever known. And it's the joy that you've shared. And so my kids look for the ministry opportunity. You mentored them. Well, there's another generation waiting to be mentored. Let's not leave them out. Let's grab hold and come alongside and let's mentor them. Singing, you know, is the same, that same kind of concept. We can mentor our kids by standing up and participate. You know what? Some of you really just don't like to sing. And I can't help that, I know. But the problem is this. When you stand there, songbook closed, and looking at Pastor Andrew like, it ain't happening. And right there's your little 7-year-old kid. And for a little while, Pastor Andrew is able to get them excited. But by the time they're 12, they're standing there saying, it ain't happening. Because they're following what they've been shown more than what they've been told. So singing, volunteering, you know, it's an amazing thing. All little kids volunteer. You ever notice that? If you ever worked at Children's Church, you know. I need a volunteer, and every hand goes up. They have no idea what you're going to ask. They don't even care. They just want to be the one picked. You know, every hand goes up, pick me, pick me, pick me. And then they grow up enough to move out of Children's Church and get into the adult world, and they see, I need a volunteer to go to the nursery. And they learn from us, don't they? They learn from us, not by what we've said, because we've told them all along, you need to be helpful, son. You need to get in there and be helpful. It's good to be helpful. And they learn from us. And we need to mentor our children. And it does require effort and work and time and commitment. It does require this of us. It's not going to happen accidentally. We choose to place ourselves into the lives of our children in a mentoring capacity. We're already teaching them. We have, and by the way, our children's church this morning, I was thrilled this morning because I knew what I was talking about tonight. And this morning I was walking by and the children's church teacher was saying, okay, now we gave you an assignment to do something for someone else on such and such day. Tell me, what did you do? I love that. It's called mentoring, right? It's demonstrate it, then we actually let them try it out, and then we evaluate it to see how well they did. And that was the mentoring process. It takes some effort. It takes some work. Playing an instrument, being an usher. We allow our kids to usher occasionally. Probably we need to do it more often. Our teenagers, about once every month, once every 2 months. Younger kids, I think we've only had once or twice. But it'd be great. And sometimes, you know, we just need, and here's the way to do it. I'm telling you, here's the way to do it. You stand them alongside the adult and let them. Have you ever watched a little kid who's proud to be where they are, standing beside someone? They're going to walk up there, and you know, and we need to spend the time. It's a lot of work. It's not easy, and it's messy sometimes. When we start getting involved in this thing of mentoring, it gets messy because it's hard to correct, you know, someone. You've got to develop some relationship, and it gets a little messy. But, you know, we have, I know, at least 2 single moms in here who would love for you to mentor their children. They need help. And they're just looking for somebody to come alongside. They need that opportunity. And we have grandparents who are raising their grandchildren in our church, at least 2 sets of that happening. And so, you know what? They're grandparents. There's a reason why God gives children to young people, right? It's hard as they get older. And those grandparents would love to have some help in the mentoring process. They would love it. It'd be fantastic. And you and I can spend that little bit of time just coming along. So it's not, here's a little sentence to help you know if you're mentoring or not. Would you do not mentoring? Would you help me mentoring? You understand? If all we're doing is assigning things to kids, go do this, go do this, go do this, then what we're doing is getting them out from underfoot. We're getting them out of our hair. They're in the way. Let's give them some busy work. Let them go get it done. Mentoring doesn't do that. Mentoring is a come alongside. Who's the great example of mentoring in the scripture? Besides the Holy Spirit of God, who is that paraclete who comes alongside. Who's the great New Testament example of the mentor? Barnabas, the son of consolation. Barnabas, who, you know, come alongside Mark, John Mark, and would help him out. Who's a good Old Testament example of mentoring? Elijah, exactly, who took Elisha under wing. And you got that concept of walking with someone. Mentoring requires, and by the way, can I point this out too? This is for the adults, right? Mentoring is not Bible study. That's not it. And we have a lot of Bible study happening in our society. Just go to Starbucks, you'll see a lot of Bible study happening. We need more mentoring. Mentoring happens as you're working alongside one another. That's when mentoring happens. Mentoring happens as you're doing together, not as you're just reading. I'm not against Bible study. I'm not against that. You know, I'm just saying that don't get them confused. Teaching is one aspect. Training is another aspect. And training is not teaching. We need to have both. So do the Bible study, but at some point, mentor someone. Take them on visitation with you. Mentor someone. Come alongside and work alongside with them. That's what this is. So how do we minister to kids and how do kids minister? We mentor them. And then while we are mentoring, we are giving them ministry opportunity. Our church is good about doing that with kids. You've seen it even tonight. We put our kids up and you just sometimes you have to deal with some of what you get, right? But you, not tonight. Tonight was great. Good job, kids. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, sometimes it doesn't go perfectly. It's because you're dealing with kids. It's okay. We don't panic. It's just fine. There have been times we've had a kid stop in the middle of their offertory, start over. Sometimes just plain old stop. Get up and walk off. I'm done. I mean, it is what it is. You know, it's not going to be perfect, but we don't care because we're more concerned about what we're teaching along the way. The example being set of mentoring them through that. So we practice it and then we take the time to evaluate it and then we bring them back to doing it again. Who are you mentoring today? Now, this is where it's going to come down. I'm going to bring it. This is it. Last statement. If you aren't mentoring one of our kids, then you're failing the children at Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. And I don't mean that it has to be like consistently we're getting together 5 times a week. That's not mentoring. It is that, you know, if you're going to stop and move a chair, and I'm bad about this. It's just easy to move the chair and be done. But if there's a kid around, do not use that kid as your personal slave. That is not what mentoring is. I know people who do that. It drives me crazy. You know, people would assign my kids a list of duties. Hello? You know, my kids really, honestly, they have lives. They have stuff to do. That wasn't the point, right? But boy, if you mentor a kid, it's so much easier when a kid would love to do it with you. But if you assign it to him, he becomes bitter about service. And service no longer becomes a joy. It becomes a task. But there's just a joy. I mean, there's hardly a little kid around that doesn't love the godly attention of an adult. They love that. So let's step into the lives of our kids. Let's mentor them. Let's show them, demonstrate by example what it means to have a servant's heart. Demonstrate by example what it means to get busy in the things of the Lord. Let's mentor our children. And in the process, they're ministering to us, and what a joy it is. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.